Okay, good evening, everyone, and welcome back to the In the Eyes of Our Brothers. Shir, we are finally up to Binyamin at long last. We've gone through the first 11 brothers, and we are last but not least up to Binyamin. And this, as we know, will, God willing, not be the last one. We'll also plan to go through Menashe and Ephraim, and also, God willing, if time permits, to do little explorations into the life of Dina as well, the sister that sort of gets overlooked a lot. But this evening we begin talking about Binyamin, and as we know, Binyamin plays an incredibly passive role in Sefer Bereishis. And it's interesting because it's not that we never hear about him, right? There are some of the brothers, though, as we've seen already, we don't hear from a lot of the brothers throughout Bereishis. We hear from Binyamin several times, but he just has a very passive role. It's just not proactive at all. He comes up with Yaakov, he comes up with Yosef, he comes up time and time again, but we don't really hear from him, and he's not doing anything, but things are being done to him. And the big question is, at the beginning, the early life of Binyamin, is how are we to view the relationship between Yaakov and his second son from Rachel Imenu, Binyamin? The reason why it's an even a question is because, of course, Rachel Imenu dies in childbirth when she's giving birth to Binyamin, and naturally you would assume that there could be some semblance of resentment, potentially, that Yaakov might have towards Binyamin because of the fact that, of course, it was not Binyamin's fault, although, as we will see in a little bit, maybe there is some fault that he does deserve the blame a little bit. But it's not just that, but it's also the fact that, nonetheless, naturally, a person is drawn to have, at the very least, subconscious feelings of resentment for something that could happen like this. And so this is the big question. What is the relationship like between Yaakov and Binyamin? So there are those perspectives. If you take a look at source number one, we're not going to do it inside, but the Meshech Chachma, the very famous Meshech Chachma, and in the earlier parts of Sefer Bereishis on the mitzvah of Pru Urvu, explains to us that women do not have an obligation in Pru Urvu. Women do not have an obligation to have children. Only men have an obligation to have children. And of course, we know that there are many women in the world who care to have children more than men do. That's based on, obviously, the maternal instinct. That's not a conversation for now, but that seems to be the case. But in terms of the actual mitzvah asay, the positive commandment, that only belongs to the men and not to the women. And the Meshech Chachma explains that the reason why this is because Hashem would never command someone in something that would cause them pain or harm. And back in the day, as we know, childbirth was much more dangerous than a Baruch Hashem Bliya in Hara is nowadays, and therefore, as a result, you can say, based on this Meshech Chachma perhaps, that Yaakov did not have any resentment towards Binyamin, for the simple reason that this was an unfortunate reality that they all grappled with, that it happened that mothers died in childbirth. True, the mothers that we know from the Torah, Sarah, Rivka, Leah, Bilhah, Zilpah, none of them died in childbirth, but nonetheless, one out of, seven or eight people is not too bad as far as the statistics back in the day seem to have gone, and it just happens to be. So Yaakov probably would not have much resentment towards Binyamin because at the end of the day, this was just an unfortunate reality of childbirth related to the curses that Chava, that womanhood, received at the beginning of time. So there is, however, another perspective to say that maybe Yaakov did not like Binyamin or did have some feelings of resentment more towards Binyamin, and if you take a look at source number two, the Chizkuni is the one who makes such a statement. He says as follows. You'll note that Yosef Atzad, that was referred to in reference to Yaakov Avinu, as the Ben Zakunim, that he was like the son of his old age. Binyamin doesn't get that same title, and it serves to reason that if Binyamin is the younger brother, for sure he's the son of his old age, if Yosef was the son of his old age. But the Chizkuni says as follows, V'im Tomar, Hari Binyamin ben Zakunim, wasn't Binyamin also a ben Zakunim? But he says, Ela ein ahavas Binyamin kashura belibo shel Yaakov kahavas shel Yosef. Yaakov did not love Binyamin as much as he loved Yosef. Why? Lefi kashi yaladato imo mesa, because when his mother died, because when his mother gave birth to him, he died. It seems, even according to the Chizkuni, that it wasn't like a conscious thing that he decided to love Binyamin less, but it was an unfortunate reality that was subconscious within him, that he had had less strong feelings for Binyamin because of the fact that his mother died while giving birth. Doesn't mean he didn't love Binyamin, but it means that he might have had a lesser connection to Binyamin. It's not worth really speculating, but one could speculate what would Yaakov's relationship have been like with Binyamin if Yosef had been there the entire time, right? It's clear that as time goes on, that even if you say that Yaakov did not have as strong of a relationship with Yosef, with Binyamin in the beginning, that it gets stronger, as we'll see in just a minute, but that it's worthwhile to realize that that strengthened relationship might have only come from the fact that Yosef wasn't there. If Yosef was there the whole time throughout his entire childhood, and he wasn't sold into slavery as he ended up being, then maybe the relationship might not have been as strong between Yaakov and Binyamin as time went on. But with all of this as an introduction into the life of Binyamin, let's jump into the actual psukim. So it says in source number 3, Perek Lamed Hey, Psukim Tes Zion through Yud Tes, the birth of Binyamin, as we will speak a little bit more about next week, God willing, was fundamentally different than the birth of all the other brothers. The first 11 brothers seem to be born consecutively. Binyamin was born just a little bit later on. By the time they get into Eretz Yisrael, he is the only brother to be born in the land of Israel. And here's what the Psukim say. They set out from Beit El, but when they were still some distance short of Ephrat, Rachel was in childbirth, and she had hard labor, and when her labor was at its hardest, the midwife said to her, "Have no fear, for it's another boy for you." But as she breathed her last breath, for she was dying, she named him Ben-Oni, which we'll see, it's not so clear what Ben-Oni means. The simple understanding and translation of it is son of my affliction, but not everyone seems to agree to that. But as a result of the fact that he was called Ben-Oni, and again, that there might have been a negative connotation to that, his father called him Binyamin. Thus Rachel died, and she was buried on the road to Ephrat, which is now called Beit Lechem. And Nachama Price points out that it is fascinating that Yaakov Avinu does change Binyamin's name. All of the sons are only given one name, and Yaakov does not once step in and try to change any of it, even though there are some sons who have negative connotations in their names, much like Binyamin, right? For example, as Nechama lays out, Reuven, who is, as we spoke about many, many weeks and months ago, is Reuben, Leah said by the birth of the son of Reuven, her first son, that she gave birth to, and also Yaakov's first son. She was hopeful that Yaakov would love her more because of it, and literally his name is Reu, Ben, come see, I have a son. And that's not the most positive connotation, but Yaakov did not change that name. Here, however, we do see that Yaakov changes the name, which is just fascinating and speaks to the nature of the relationship that Yaakov desired for him and Binyamin. Take a look at source number 4, how Nechama Price frames it. She says as follows, Binyamin is the only one of the brothers to receive two names, one from his mother, Ben-Oni, the son of my affliction, and one from his father, Binyamin, for the first and only time Yaakov renames one of his children. Evidently, Yaakov doesn't want his son to carry the baggage associated with Ben-Oni that connects Binyamin's birth to Rachel's pain and eventual death. To walk around with that name would be a constant reminder of his mother's death and childbirth. Right, so there are really two ways to look at it. On the one hand, maybe Yaakov changed Binyamin's name so that Binyamin wouldn't have that baggage, so that by the time Binyamin was 15 years old, if he only went by Ben-Oni, they would say, "Hey, how come he got such an interesting name, Ben-Oni?" And he would have to say, "It's because I killed my mother when she was giving birth to me." Right. So as a result, Yaakov might have changed the name because of that. There is an alternative perspective, as some volunteered in Shul, that it could be that the reason why his name was changed was not because of Binyamin's perspective, but because of Yaakov's perspective. He did not want to find himself in a situation where later in life he would resent Binyamin, so he changed his name to Binyamin, not Ben-Oni, to help him see past the affliction that he caused, and that he would only see him as the Binyamin, which we'll see has very positive connotations in that name itself. The first is the Ramban. The Ramban in source number 5 on these psukim in Lamed Hey Pesach Yud Ches, he first quotes Rashi, rejects Rashi's understanding of how Binyamin got the name Binyamin, and then he introduces his own reason why Yaakov named him Binyamin. Take a look inside source number 5. I am of the opinion, this is him quoting Rashi, that he was so called because he alone was born in the land of Canaan, which lies to the south, as one comes from Aram Naharaim, just as it says, in the south in the land of Canaan. So in other words, why is it Binyamin? Why did he get his name changed? Because he was the Ben Yamin. He is the son to the Yemen could mean south in some context because of the right. If you look at a compass, so Yemen would be the direction to the right, which in this case was to the south. So he was the sun to the right, the sun to the south, and that's why he got that name, because of where he was specifically situated in at that point. However, the Ramban says that doesn't make any sense. Their geographic location was not south at this time. It was actually, if anything, it was maybe southeast, but not south. And therefore, as a result, he has a whole new perspective. And that is, he says as follows. We're sort of like in the third paragraph in the Ramban. He says, the correct interpretation appears to me to be that his mother called him Benoni, and she meant to say, the son of my mourning, similar in expression to bread of Onim, and I have not eaten thereof Oni in my morning, and his father understood the word Oni in the sense of my strength, similar in expression to the first fruits of Oni, of my strength. In other words, what the Ramban is saying over here is that the reason why Yaakov called him Binyamin from Ben Oni is because although Rachel Imenu meant Ben Oni, he is the son of my affliction, the son of my difficulty, the son of my mourning, Yaakov said, oh, when she says Oni, she must mean like my strength, because that's another way to interpret the word Oni, and therefore he said, Ben Oni, okay, well, there could be a potential negative way to mean that, although he was convinced that his wife meant something positive by it, so he made it Binyamin, which is a clear positive connotation. How is Binyamin a clear positive connotation? Because it's Ben Yamin, the son of my right hand. Right hand represents strength and power, so from Ben Oni, the son of my strength, how Yaakov understood it, to Binyamin, the son of my right hand, the son of my stronger hand. And the Radak seems to continue in that same vein, although he doesn't say explicitly as strongly as the Ramban might seem to imply. But he says, Klomar, source number 6, Klomar Benyamini, v'chaviv alai shenolad la'is zignusi, right? That he is the son of my right hand, meaning he's beloved by me because he was another Ben Zakunim of mine. True, the Torah doesn't call him a Ben Zakunim, but he is. He's the son of my older year, and he's equally as beloved by me. Now, it is worthwhile to note, and I think I always quote this opinion every time I give a shir that has anything to do with Rachel Imenu and Binyamin, because it's just so fascinating, but there is an opinion out there of the Rabbeinu Ephraim, who was one of the Bali Tosfos, of course the Tosfos that are well known as medieval commentators, that whole school of thought of the Bnei Tos, of the Tosfos, and Rabbeinu Ephraim, one of the Bali Tosfos, who again, I associate him in that context, because of what I'm going to say is a little interesting, but it's worthwhile to know that he is not an avant-garde commentator. He's in the mainstream world. So Rabbeinu Ephraim believes, writes of the opinion, that Binyamin was actually a werewolf, that as a werewolf, he was born as a little puppy, if you will, and he was hungry when he was born, and he ate his mother while he was being born. And interestingly, if that is the case, then you can imagine that there could be a little bit more resentment from Yaakov, right? Some children, when they are being born, their mother dies in childbirth, not their fault at all. But Binyamin, when he was born, the reason why his mother died in childbirth was because he ate his mom, a little werewolf puppy ate his mom, and therefore Yaakov might have resented him more, which would even be a stronger point and a stronger sense of where Yaakov was coming from when he renamed him to Binyamin, to imply that although he has a lot of reason to want to associate some negativity with Binyamin because he was the direct cause of his mother's death, it becomes Binyamin because he only wants to see the positive. He clearly wants to love this son. And whatever their relationship was like when he was first born, whatever difficulty Yaakov might have found in it, it's clear that as time goes on, Yaakov does have a deep and very clear love for his son Binyamin. If you take a look at source number 7, the Psukim in Perek, Mem Beis, and Mem Gimel, chapters 42 and 43, which are the thick of the story of when the brothers go to see the land of Egypt to get some food, and then they come back, they're told that they have to bring Binyamin, their youngest brother, with them, and Yaakov Avinu says, no way, no how will I ever let my youngest, most beloved son, Binyamin, go with you? Worthwhile to ask the question of how old Binyamin is at this point. He's not a little boy, but that is how the text seems to imply, but we'll talk about that in just a moment. And Reuven says, please, Abba, let us take our youngest brother Binyamin. I'll take care of him, and if I don't, you can kill my children. Yaakov says, that's ridiculous. Why would I ever want to kill my grandchildren? I love my son Binyamin, but I don't want to lose my grandchildren either. So he says, you can't go down. And then finally, some time passes. They need some food. And Yaakov says to his children, go down to Egypt once again. And they say, we can't go because we need us to bring Binyamin, and you don't want us to bring Binyamin. So he says, fine, you can take Binyamin, but make sure that you take care of him. And Yehuda says, I will take care of him. He's the one who takes responsibility for him. With that in mind, understanding that Yaakov loved Binyamin so deeply, this brings us to the question of how old Binyamin was, as we alluded to a second ago. So if we take a look at source number 8, this pasuk tells about the interaction that that Yosef had when he first saw Binyamin for the first time in many decades. And he says as follows, Vayisa ina vayaris Binyamin achiv ben imo, that Yosef raised his eyes, and he saw Binyamin, his brother, the son of his mother, Vayomer hazeh achichem hakaton, asher amarta me. And he says to the brothers, this is still before he revealed himself to the rest of the brothers, he says, is this the youngest brother you were telling me about? Vayomer Elokim Yachnecha Bini. And he says that Hashem should be pleasant, Hashem should be gracious with you, my young son. Vayomer Yosef Ki Nichmaru Rachamav. And Yosef has to run into a corner because his mercy begins to swell up, and he's about to start crying. So he has to run into a corner. And what's the reason why he gets so emotional at this point when he sees his son Binyamin, other than the obvious? And the answer seems to be based on what Rashi says. Rashi explains that Sha'alu Yeshlecha Ach Me'im, that Yosef had a little side conversation with Binyamin. And he said, did you ever have a brother from your mother? Amarlo Ach Hayali. And he says, yeah, I did have a brother, Ve'ini Yodea Hechanu, but I don't know where he is. Yeshlecha Banim, he says, do you have any sons? Amarlo Yeshli Yud, I have 10 sons. Which again, if he has 10 sons, that seems to imply that Binyamin is not like a 20-year-old guy. He's probably 35, who knows exactly how old he is precisely, but he was somewhat older than you normally would have imagined him to be. So again, Amar lo mashamam, and then Yosef says back to Binyamin, and how old were, what are your children's names? Amar lo Bela Vavecher, and he lists all the 10 names, which we'll see in a second. And he says, Amar Ma Tivan Shoshimos Halalu. When Yosef says to Binyamin, why did you name all of your sons these 10 names, which we'll see in a second, are very interesting names. Amar lo Kulam Al Shem Achi. He says, all of them are named after my brother, which until this point, if you had any doubt for the love that Binyamin might have had for Yosef, this makes it clear. That's Saros Asher Mitzauhu. And he says, I named all my 10 sons after my brother and the pain that he experienced in his life. Bela Shanivla Bin Ha'umos, I called him Bela because he was swallowed up among the nations. Becher Shaya Bechor Li'imi, I called him Becher because he was the firstborn of my mother. Ashbael Sheshiva'u Kael, and specifically Ashbael, that because God sent him into captivity. Gera Shagar Bachsanya, he was called Gera, one son was called Gera because he was a stranger in another land. Naaman Shaya Na'im Bioter, he was called Naaman because because his brother was very beautiful. Achi v'haya v'roshi haya, because he was my first and oldest brother. Mipi avi lamad, Mupim, because mipi avi lamad, and I named another of my sons Mupim because he learned from my father. V'chupim, and I called another of my sons Chupim. Shelo ra'a chupasi v'lo ra'isi ani chupaso, because I didn't see his chupa and he didn't see my chupa. V'ard sheyarad lebein ha'umos, and I called one of them Ard because he went down to be among the nations. Kedi isa b'mesecha sota. This whole conversation is outlined in Tractate Masecha Sota. This is when Binyamin and Yosef had this interaction. And so we see a few things. Number one, again, Binyamin was not the young little boy who we might have pictured him to be, but still Yaakov speaks for him and says, I don't want him going. And Binyamin says nothing. He never says, hey, Abba, don't worry, I could take care of myself. He doesn't do anything. Again, we also see the relationship that Yosef and Binyamin had, or at least that Binyamin had a love for Yosef, and that we also witness at this point Yosef perhaps understanding where Binyamin was coming from, right? Because it's a little unclear exactly why Yosef wants to bring Binyamin down. There are several different perspectives out there. The classical perspective is that he wanted to bring Binyamin down because he wanted to make sure Binyamin was okay, because who knows what the brothers did to Binyamin. If they treated Yosef so badly, they probably also treated Binyamin badly. So he wanted to make sure that he was okay. And then he came down, and that confirmed that he was doing okay. But there are those that might have the understanding that Yosef, that Binyamin was there for when Yosef was being sold. That, in other words, we don't really have any understanding of where Binyamin is, and it's classically understood that Binyamin was probably just home with Yaakov, but you could maybe say that maybe Binyamin was with the rest of the brothers, and he saw Yosef being sold. And maybe Yosef was trying to figure out what his brother Binyamin thought of Yosef. Was he sort of brainwashed along from the rest of the brothers, taught that Yosef is the brother we don't like, or did he have a deep love for his brother, for Yosef, like Yosef had for Binyamin? And it seems clear through this conversation that Binyamin did love his brother deeply, and of course Yosef loved his brother deeply. And we see that most clearly from source number 10, when Yosef says to the brothers, when he finally reveals himself to all the brothers, and he says, "Your eyes will see, you'll take note that it's clearly me, Yosef." Ve'eni achi Binyamin ki pi hamedaber aleichem. And he says, "Also for sure, my brother will recognize me. For sure, Binyamin will recognize me." And Yosef treats Binyamin better than the rest of the brothers, and he calls him out more than the rest of the brothers, because it's clear that he has a deep love for Binyamin, and that Binyamin has a deep love for him more than anyone else. The final thing that we'll have to bring up for today, and then with this we'll conclude, and God willing, pick up from here next week, is trying to understand why Binyamin had such a passive personality. And again, he's such a passive person because he keeps coming up way more than some of the other brothers, but he doesn't say anything. He doesn't do anything. He has one action that he does in all of Sefer Bereishis. So why is that? So Nechama Price makes a point of noting this as well in source number 11. She says as follows: "When reviewing Binyamin's appearances in the book of Genesis, we are struck by his passivity. What do we know about his life? Binyamin's birth is impactful, that his mother dies, but he's passive in the process. Later, when his brother is one to take him down to Egypt, Binyamin utters not a word. Yaakov does the talking on his behalf. He plays no active role in that episode whatsoever. Even later, when the situation is desperate and their father permits Yehuda to take him, Binyamin is silent. When he is eventually brought down to Egypt, he is listed among the objects and items, not the people, because the pasuk says the men took that present, and they took double money in their hands, and Binyamin. When they arrive in Egypt, Binyamin's mere presence transforms Yosef's emotional state, compelling him to leave the room and cry, but Binyamin does nothing in particular to elicit this response." Again, in the text, he does nothing. Rashi, of course, quotes the idea that he did have something to do with it, but from the basic text, he does nothing. He stands there, evidently clueless about Yosef's emotional response. And she goes on and on to explain that it's so odd that Binyamin is so passive. And this is the big question: How did Binyamin get like this? How did he become such a passive individual? And there are a lot of potential explanations out there, but perhaps we can suggest one idea, and that is, you can imagine the emotional state that Yaakov was in once he found that his wife Rachel Imenu died, and then a few years later when he realized that his son, or he thought that his son Yosef, had died. Binyamin was the only living person who was left that represented his most beloved wife and his most beloved son. And so you can imagine how overprotective Yaakov probably was towards Binyamin. And I bring it down here, no need to look at it now, but there are several studies brought down about what's known as helicopter parenting, overbearing parents, and what the impact can be on the children if you have a too overbearing of a parent. And again, this is chas v'sholom not to criticize at all Yaakov Avinu's perspective. It certainly would make a lot of sense if this is who he was, and again, this is still all speculation. But perhaps Yaakov was a very overprotective parent towards Binyamin, and as a result of his overprotectiveness, Binyamin became a much more passive individual, such that we find him again come up several times in Bereishis. His name is mentioned, he's in a conversation, he's in some sort of a situation, but he does nothing and he virtually says nothing. It's always things being done to him, and him himself never acting, never saying anything much at all, at least from a textual perspective. And that might be because of the fact that Yaakov was a little bit more overprotective with him than any of his other children, because of all the experiences that led him to this point. However, that said, we do have the bracha that Yaakov gives Yosef in source number 13, and with this we'll conclude, and we'll pick up from this point next week as well. in Parshas Vayechi, in Perek Memtes, chapter 49, Pasuk Chav Zayin, 27, he says to, about Binyamin, that Binyamin Ze'ev Yishraf Babokir Yochal Ad Vila Erev Yechalek Shalal, that Binyamin is a ravenous wolf, and in the morning he consumes the foe, and in the evening he divides the spoil. Now, Binyamin, if he's a passive individual, I would not describe him as a ravenous wolf. I don't know, I'd describe him as a cute little mouse or something. The fact that he's given the nickname or the connection to a wolf seems to be that there is much more than meets the eye when it comes to Binyamin, that his personality, although comes off a certain way throughout the text of Bereishis, must be that there is something more than just that than his passive personality that's implied from the text. But from this point, we'll pick up next week, and God willing, we'll try to finish up the life of Binyamin for next week. But for now, I wish everyone a beautiful evening and a Shavua Tov.